safest. Mother tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house.
Isle's house, Ethan, Jack, Rocco coming at you, not live, pre-recorded after the Toronto game. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Jack at Isle's Den. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow the pod page at Isle's House. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts, namely iTunes and Spotify. Smash the subscribe button if you're on YouTube. Give us a five-star rating. We are brought to you by the fine folks at Rust and Gold. If you're looking for a great place to watch a game, check them out in Huntington. If you want to support the podcast, I'm rocking a Casa hat. Rocco's rocking a Casa hat. Jack is rocking a Los Angeles hat and needs to retake marketing 101. But if you do want to support us and check out our merch store, that QR code in the top right hand of your screen, check it out. Also, the Patreon. If you want extra content, you want access to the Discord down below, patreon.com/Isle's House. We're running a promotion. Ozempic, that's the promo code Ozempic for 25% off your first month or year. So if you're a fat slob who likes to sit in his mom's basement and take pot shots at us on Twitter, that promo code's for you. Feel free to use it and get a discount on your first month or year of our Patreon. Gentlemen, how are we tonight?
We're doing pretty well. Doing pretty well following a 3-1 win tonight. I guess I'll get into the recap.
Jackie recaps, take it away.
Yeah, so just one game to cover since we recorded pretty recently. Or do we have two games to cover? No, two games to cover. 3-2 win over the Calgary Flames. David Rittich, I think, was the star of the show. Him and Simon Holmstrom, I might add. Another breakaway finish for him. Of course, tonight on his breakaway, he gets stopped because I just gassed it up the other day, so I should go back to ripping him. But now the Islanders went to Toronto after, and in a pretty... You know, the first period, power play, Richie makes a nice pass. Braden Schenn gets his first as an Islander. A couple minutes later, Richie again. And from there, it was just like Toronto scored, made it close for a little bit. Then Barzal had a crazy shift. Just kind of like a taken care of business feeling and not the most climactic game, which is kind of refreshing for this team, I would say.
Yeah, it's just honestly at this point, it's refreshing to get wins, right? Like Columbus – doesn't lose. I don't know. When was the last time Columbus lost?
It's insane.
In a while.
I was pulling up there. I was looking to see if this is maybe like a little bit of a sleeping giant sort of situation where nobody was taking them seriously at some point this year, but they had like great underlyings. But when you look at their underlyings, they look like a pretty, they look like an above average team. They don't look like a great team. And this run that they've put together is insane. I just don't even know what to say.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you, like, you're in a race with teams and you're looking at who their upcoming opponents are, I feel like every time with the Blue Jackets, I look at their opponents and I think maybe, okay, maybe they have a shot at losing, like a game like tonight. They're playing Carolina, who are obviously leading the Metro, and they just dummy them. I don't know what the final score was. I think it was 5-1 when we got up.
Yep.
5-1 final.
Yeah. Yep. I think someone shared the stat, though. Like, since the Olympic break, Columbus is, like, second in –
Jay Fresh stat, I think.
Yeah, like shot percentage. Jack, maybe you can pull that up or I can put it up on the screen if I could find it.
You like just tweeted it before we got on, I think.
Yeah, I know someone sent it, but I'll see if I could find it.
While we're looking, this is their full season card. I mean, it's okay. I mean, expected goals for, they're in the top half. X goals against, they're in the middle, but they don't have great goaltending. They don't have great finishing. This whole run to me is just...
You know what, though, Jack? They're not bad at anything.
Yeah, here it is. Jackets are second in shot share and fourth in expected goal share since the Olympic break.
Yeah, and they were hot before then. I remember getting on the pod and saying the best thing to happen to us was the Olympic break because hopefully it would cool Columbus down. It has not at all. It's going to be a crazy race in the East, quite honestly.
I don't see how Columbus misses at this point. I mean, they literally don't lose games without collecting points. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and then you have somehow Pittsburgh has had Crosby out and Malkin suspended. They still win seemingly every game. It's just it was crazy too because I remember looking and thinking, okay, if we go .500, a little above .500, we should be fine. Now you look at it and you have 97, 98 points, you really don't know if you're going to make it. Because all it takes is a couple of these other teams getting hot, and that's it. I mean, we're in one of these seasons where the teams at the bottom really just kind of stink, right? Like,
yeah,
the Rangers have been bad for a while. The Devils have fallen off
for a while.
The Rangers are playing their way right out of a top three pick.
They are, but I'm just saying overall in the season, the reason there's so many good teams in the playoff race, there's like nine teams vying for the eight spots, and it's all teams that are probably going to end up in the high 90s points because the bottom is just so bad, really. Like a lot of teams, like the Leafs fell off, the Panthers fell off because of injuries. The Rangers are having a terrible season. The Devils are having an off year. So it's just a bunch of teams that are either playing really well or maybe based off original expectations overachieving. And then these other teams that have just been kind of bad the whole season. I mean, the Devils, outside of like maybe the first month, right, have just kind of been towards the bottom, correct?
Yeah.
And then you even Ottawa's trying to get in there now too, but I feel like they can't fully because how hot the other teams are.
Team we don't have a goalie.
Well, now yeah. We're playing the next. It's actually a huge game.
That's going to be a tough game for us. The part that's crazy too is it feels like every game with two opponents in the race, it keeps going to that. It keeps being a 3-point game. There's just every team is always getting points. Tonight was kind of the worst case scenario with the Canadians and the Bruins for both of them to get a point. Just one frustrating. Thing,
it is definitely. But one thing I think we do potentially have going for us, I believe after this Canada swing, we finish with 10 of 12 games at home. So we're going to have a ton of home games. Hopefully we could take some home ice advantage here. And, you know, UBS is going to be rocking. We know that. You got Schaefer is obviously the main attraction and just the good team around him. I imagine it's going to be a sellout crowd every time. You just got to hope they show up.
Yeah. Games are going to be huge. They play Montreal later this week.
So we have Ottawa next away, Montreal away, and then I believe we come back home Sunday against Columbus. Pretty sure that's what it is. I know the next two are away in Canada, and then I think Sunday's home against Columbus, which is another huge game.
That's one of the biggest back-to-backs of the season. So it's Saturday night at the Bell Center and then Sunday hosting the Blue Jackets. Do you start Sorokin in both?
That's tough.
I think you do. I think this is the first time you do it.
I think this is where you could ride him a little bit.
Yeah. This is what it's for.
I think we might play the Hawks after that, or we play the Hawks at some point. Maybe you throw Riddick against the Hawks. You work that out when the time comes. I'm sure they'll see how he feels. But, man, it's kind of – it's getting risky to play Riddick, and he was pretty good the last game, but damn.
Yeah, I agree that. I will say the Blackhawks will not be an easy game. I've been tuning in a little bit recently, and
Jackie Blackhawks?
Bedard is just on an absolute tear that no one's talking about. It's incredible to watch.
I think the big difference I noticed with him this season, the skating has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, he's so dynamic.
Kind of stupid. So a player like him with that shot – when you add the skating and take another level, it's crazy.
Yeah. And their goalie's playing well too, Spencer Knight.
Yeah, that was like an undercover acquisition last year, I feel like. He was part of the Seth Jones trade, right?
Yeah. No team's gonna be regretting that one though.
No, that's a win-win, right? Like Seth Jones was doing nothing in Chicago. Chicago gets some pieces back, draft pick, Spencer Knight, whatever else. So that might be end up being a win-win one. Kind of a bit reminiscent of Nelson for Richie in a first type deal, right? Like he's playing great for Colorado and Richie's playing great for us. And I think pretty decent segue. We could jump right into Cal Richie. What did you see tonight?
Oh, man. I've seen what we've been seeing all year with this, with helping the power play, which has come to life at the right time. He's so smart with knowing where everybody is, his awareness, his high level, his finishing in front of the net was important tonight. He's just been they know where to put him on the power play, and he's just really helped it, and they really, really needed it. I've loved what I've seen from him this season, and I just think it's like when you really look at a 20-year-old, the expectations, the hopes you have coming in, I've just seen enough dynamic skill set out of him to where I feel great about his future. And I don't know, like, can he be this team's first line center, second line center? I think he has a lot to prove at 5-on-5, but in your rookie year, it's just the flashes and competence that I want to see. And he absolutely belongs.
Yeah, man. He, I think Ethan said it through text before, obviously, but his game is just like smooth, right? Like he makes the smooth pass. He's high IQ player, really liking what I'm seeing. And you feel like the points are finally coming a little bit more consistently. I feel like those on the outside that don't watch the Isles were kind of like, why are all the Isles fans gassing this guy up? He doesn't have a ton of points. He gets a lot decent amount of ice time. But I think the power play looks so much better with him on it. I mean, he has, and he's perfected that little pass, right? Like that, get the pass on the forehand, turn, backhand, find the open man, one-timer. I feel like it's happened multiple times this season where he directly sets up a goal on the power play. And that's where he's going to shine, and that's where we need him to shine going forward, because obviously you have Schaefer, who's going to be your main piece on the team overall. But the thing we've been lacking for so long is a competent power play, and he seems to be at least part of the answer going forward.
100%. At 5-on-5, the points aren't too high, and the points aren't even too high in general, but I think it is a lot to do with who he's played with. And all of his points are so earned, and they all look pretty. Like, he has a great highlight tape for somebody that only has, I don't know how many points he has exactly, maybe around like 25-ish.
Yeah, but and at the like, I feel like the 25.
Fewer than that, but it
doesn't tell the story.
Agreed.
He's got 21 after tonight.
How many games played?
51.
51. Okay.
It's which, at 20 years old, look what's back out.
Also 20 years old, your calculator.
Yeah. So 21 and 51. It's a 33.8 rounded up point pace. Now, if we were to go look at Brock Nelson, who's first full season at the age of 22, not at 20, he had 26 points in 72 games.
Right. Probably a much worse team, but what year was that?
2013-2014, which extrapolates to 29.6.
Was that the
points per 82
that
games?
That was the Vanek year? His rookie was the Vanek year, I guess, right?
Correct. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Similar to how many games did Cal play for the Avalanche?
8 or 9, because his contract slid, remember?
Yep.
Actually, off the top of my head, I want to say he played 7 and they sent him back.
Yeah.
But yeah, they definitely allowed the contract to slide because obviously at the time for Colorado, the thought was if we keep
7 him, games played.
Thought at the time was if they kept him, let that contract slide. You get 3 years on the entry level, which is obviously important for all teams in the NHL, but especially important for a team like Colorado, which that was obviously their plan at the time.
Yeah.
But he – and his only goal was against us, remember?
Yep. Who could forget?
Yeah. So, you know, really like what I'm seeing. High skill. The one – if we're going to nitpick here, the one thing with him I'd like to see it take a step going into next season. Like, if his skating can improve a little bit, I think it could be a huge difference maker because he's – I wouldn't say he's slow, but he's certainly not a burner. So if he could just kind of take that step with the skating, train specifically for that in the summer, it would be huge for his game. I think the skating is what could take him from good 2C potential to 1C potential.
One thing I'll say, it's complimentary. This is like very football coded because this is something that like a lot of the scouts, I always laugh at it, use to describe an offensive lineman. Good in a phone booth.
Good feet.
Just really good in the tight areas with little room to operate. And he's, especially on the power play down low, he's been outstanding. It's like really not that much movement. It's just really good stick work, good at retrieving pucks, and finding the open guy. It's just unbelievable.
It's very big in the like hockey prospect world too, in the scouting world, to be like, oh, the guy's got good feet. Like if he's not fast, but he just moves well, it's like, oh, good feet. That's like a big talking point nowadays. So, yeah, he definitely has it.
Speaking of prospects, the Islanders inked Keshawn Aitchison to a 3-year
A-plus transition, Jack.
Thank you. To his ELC. It was 3 years. So what does this really mean? Do we think he's coming over next year?
It means that, as Rocco reported months ago, at this point in the Insiders channel in the Discord, that the New York Islanders are planning on using their 19-year-old AHL exemption on him, and he will be in Hamilton come next season.
Yeah, he's going to be in Hamilton, and listen, everyone has the right to be excited about Aitchison. He's a very good prospect, but I still think he's pretty raw, right? Like, I think he could use not just this upcoming year in the AHL, probably even one more. I mean, things change quickly. He could take a huge jump, whatever it is, but I think this is a prospect that, although highly touted, does need a couple years because, to me, his biggest flaw is the defensive game, right? And that kind of is the thing that takes the longest to come around if you don't have it initially. So exciting prospect, but I would say be a little patient with him because it's going to take a little time. But, you know, high ceiling because
– I mean, can I run this little theory by you that's really not – I don't think that crazy, but given how crowded the left side is, I mean, obviously – Pelech, what, he's got three more years after this year on his deal. So, I mean, maybe at some point he becomes a trade candidate.
Not right away.
I'm just saying if Aitchison is ready. But, I mean, maybe Aitchison himself becomes very good trade bait if he takes the next step his first year in Bridgeport and the Islanders need to take a big swing somewhere. You know, that left side's crowded. I saw someone earlier on Twitter say, like, he wasn't an Islanders guy. He was more of a prospect guy. He's like, oh, could you imagine if, you know, Aitchison and Schaefer were the Islanders' top pair? It's like, bro, they're both lefty. Like,
yeah,
come on.
They are. It does seem like it would fit, but once you watch Aitchison's game, I actually don't think he'd be the best partner for him.
No.
But it's we just have nothing on the right side. That's what's so frustrating. Like, how perfect would it be if one of these guys were a right-handed defenseman? But we have Aitchison, and we always also have the other kid over at Cornell. Excuse me if I pronounce his name wrong, but Xavier Velu, I believe is how you say it. And I know Mark D is just in our Discord, and Mark D scouting all over Twitter is just drooling over this guy. He loves him. But I'm high on him too. But Isles, just loaded on that left side. Could we find some righties, guys? Come on.
You know what they say, Rocco?
What do they say, Aitchison?
The righty defensemen don't grow on trees.
They don't grow on trees, but I mean – find some. Lefty apparently do.
Apparently, for the Islanders, they do.
Yeah. Seems like it.
What else in prospect world? Cole Iserman.
Reports, I believe, from Pagnotta today that he had signed a little bit premature. We'll see what comes of it. We had some info on it in the Discord. But as far as the player, my opinion on Iserman, I've seen some people say that they think he should go back. I actually very much disagree because if he goes back to BU, they're going to ride on him to be the number one scorer on the team. They have Tynan Lawrence there already. I believe they have Caleb Malhotra going next year. Two centers down the middle. They're going to want Cole to be a top winger for them. And what are they going to require him to do? Just score goals, score goals, score goals. I think it's time for Cole Iserman to dig a little deeper into other parts of his game. And I think it's no better time than now to get him working with Rocky Thompson, get him in the AHL and round out his game. And I'll be the first to say, if the kid could score 30 goals in the National, I don't really care too much about the rest of his game. Obviously you would love it for it to be good as well, but you score 30, you score 30, but the rest of it does need to come around at least a little bit, regardless if it's 30, 40, 50, you do need to work on your positioning, your defensive game, your two-way play, whatever it may be. He does have things to work on, but he also has that one skill that's probably the hardest skill to find, and that's scoring goals. So I'm excited about the prospect. I do understand a bit why some have kind of soured on him, at least a little bit, but man, he can still score at a high pace. And when he was 100% healthy, even this year, he was scoring goals. And he's scoring goals in an NCAA it's not that easy to score goals. We've seen very good players go there and struggle. So the fact that Cole has basically gone there and scored from the jump, I think is a good sign. I think he'll score in the NHL. I think he's going to be in the NHL at some point. It's just a question of where that ceiling's at and if it could come all the way around. And he's another one. Could use a little jump with that skating. Like, the skating has gotten better for both him and Aitchison, but if it takes that jump, who knows where the ceiling is on those two.
And are you guys at all concerned with the lack thereof Danny Nelson news?
Well, the fear is that Danny Nelson is actually Danny Herbert and pulls a Justin, goes back to Notre Dame to play with his younger brother.
Sounds like a reasonable fear.
I believe he has his other brother there too. So it's, he has Sammy, and I think, I don't know if the other one's older or younger, whatever he is, but I think it would be three brothers. And the kid Sammy that's coming this year.
He's supposed to be the best one, right?
He's supposed to be the best one, and is supposed to be a very high pick in the 27 draft, I believe. Like top 10 potential pick.
Wow.
Could be the best American player in the draft.
Where is he playing right now?
He plays in Minnesota High School, I think.
Oh.
And I believe he's going to I could be wrong on that, but he's going to go to Notre Dame next year. So it's there, but I don't know. You know, if your goal is to play in the NHL, I don't think you let it wait too long. I know you wouldn't start in the NHL. He'd start in the AHL, but it feels like you're delaying things just a little bit if you go back to school as far as Danny Nelson and your future career in the NHL.
I also feel like if you've got a prospect pool like the Islanders where Aitchison's going to be there next year, like why wouldn't Nelson and Yzerman and Finley and who else am I missing? I'm missing one more. Potentially Eklund if he doesn't make the big club.
Eklund's going to be there. And Aitchison's going to be there. I think those are pretty much confirmed because Eklund already signed his deal. Aitchison just signed.
Yeah, but isn't there like even a small possibility that Eklund's up with the big club if he has a good enough camp?
I think Eklund gets the Richie treat next year.
Okay.
Last round of cuts. You want him there. He's your basically your top prospect. And in order to make the team, he's going to have to blow you away. And if he doesn't make the team, you're kind of planning on about a half season. And then once guys go down or he's just played that well in the AHL, he comes up. That's what I imagine the plan would be right now because that's what makes the most sense. The guy's got experience. He's played in pro leagues. He plays a really good two-way game, good skater, good in transition. He has all the tools. It's just about putting everything together and putting everything together in North America. It's definitely, like, I say this all the time, Eklund's my favorite prospect in this pool. The only knock on him is he's a little small, but, again, he plays like he's much bigger. And he has all the skill. Like, I'm not worried about the skating, not worried about the effort. It's all there for him. It's just about putting it all together and proving it in North America. So very exciting times for the prospect pool, quite honestly.
Yeah, I like the idea of getting as many to Bridgeport as possible, especially I think Aitchison will benefit the most from it just because learning how to defend.
And he was also playing out of our top prospects in what I'd consider like the weakest league at this point. He's playing in a watered-down OHL. Putting up great numbers, but it's not what it used to be over there. A lot of those guys are going to the NCAA. A lot of those guys are going to other leagues. The OHL of mine and Ethan's youth is not today's OHL.
No, so not.
It's, again, I'm not trying to take away from Aitchison, but I agree with you, Jack. I want to see him prove it at the AHL level. And honestly, I was of the opinion if he doesn't go to the AHL, I would have wanted him in the NCAA at least, playing against bigger opponents, playing against older opponents, because – when you scout guys in juniors, especially guys like with a build like Aitchison, sometimes you could worry because it's about, like, is he just the biggest guy on the ice and dominating? Like the Michael Del Col syndrome from years and years and years ago. He was the biggest guy, best shot, but then when he went against opponents that were of equal size, equal speed, it's a little bit of a different story. So definitely interested to see how Aitchison performs, and I agree. I think as far as taking the step next season, he might be the most important with the improved league he's going to be in.
I think one positive takeaway from Matthew Darche is I do have a lot more faith in this minor league AHL system for these prospects.
He also came in, I mean, just getting Matthew Schaefer help. I'm not trying to knock down Darche down here, but Matthew Schaefer draft lottery alone puts you in a great spot right there. The Noah Dobson trade gets you the other two picks. So it's just kind of like a different.
No,
like we had those opportunities. We didn't have those opportunities with Luke because he would trade all the picks. But at the same time, we would have never gotten, like, Schaefer just changes everything because he also kind of, from a fan perspective, at least takes some of that pressure away of like, we need this guy to be great. We need this guy to be great. We already have our diamond. It's just about the other guys filling in and plugging pieces we need along the way. Like, if Danny Nelson's a 3C, that's great. If Quinn Finley comes up and is just an NHL winger, that's great. Aitchison, middle pair, bottom pair, that's fine. So you don't need these guys to be stars because you already have your stars. Obviously, you'd prefer one or two of them get to that level, but there's not, like, this extreme amount of pressure on the prospects like there were when we had next to no one and we were trying to hype up AHL players and pretend they had NHL potential.
No, absolutely. Like the coaching hire down there. Should we, are we hitting questions next or do we have another topic?
Questions.
Yeah, I think we're good on questions.
Let's hit the questions. Let's see. My favorite podcast. Oh, this is from Chris G. My favorite podcast, Positive, Rational, and Happy. Can't get better Isles talk anywhere. Despite the faults with this team, how can you guys stay so positive? I would say it's from really what I've hit home the whole year. I mean, did you see Sorokin tonight? He was once again playing at that Vezina level. He's been incredible all season long. You know, before the season, I predicted he was going to have a great one. I drafted him in fantasy. I got my fantasy playoffs going right now. I've come a long way, but I absolutely love this guy, man.
For me, it's an easy answer. The Islanders beat has been small for a very long time, but we got a new member recently, Steven Kurtz. And with his reporting, it's tough to be negative. It's just next level reporting.
Thank God they got him some Narcan at the last game, man.
It's easy to be positive when Matthew Schaefer changes your life, I guess.
He has changed our lives. Next question's from Riley. Did you guys catch the stat that the Islanders have the second most rookie points this season? Thought that was pretty cool, but definitely Schaefer carried. It is Schaefer carried, but that is a pretty cool stat.
And it's also a Cal Ritchie stat.
It's a Cal Ritchie stat, but, you know, Warren was up here for a second. Mitchell, they had a lot of random guys up here at certain points in the season.
It's a Schaefer stat, let's be real.
But, yeah, it's a Schaefer too,
but it's a Schaefer. It's like when they ask, who's the all-time NHL scoring brothers? And it's Wayne Gretzky and his brother, and the brother has, like, 3 points. Yeah. But they're the most all-time. It's a Wayne stat. Like, this is a Schaefer stat.
It's a Schaefer stat.
It's like the furniture meme where the guy's got, like, his one finger carrying. Yeah.
It's like Schaefer, and the finger is the rest of the team.
That is my favorite one. Joe727, how nice is it to see those flashes from Cal Ritchie? It's great. The first goal, I mean, no one was happier to see it than Braden Schenn tonight. That was just a great pass, but credit to Schenn.
I mean, imagine having a career worst year and then getting traded and then immediately getting plopped on power play one with Cal Ritchie. I mean, what a life.
What a life.
It's a turnaround like you read about.
LI/Mets94. Oh, and also, Rocco, did Jack and Ethan ever get that birthday cake for you?
No. But I will say, Ethan and a couple friends from the Discord, we went out to Miller's.
Not even going to name them. Wow.
I don't know if they want to be named. Riley and Josh Elkin, we all went out, and the boys took care of the bill. I put my car down, and they literally threw it back at my face. Said, get out of here.
I actually stole it from you and kept it. Yeah.
You didn't keep it. I got it back after.
Well, I kept it until the bill was paid.
You're not running up the bill on my Amex right now.
No.
Gave it back after the meal.
I did.
Some co-host I am, because I might have dropped the ball on a lot more than just the birthday cake.
I'm just waiting for the server to come around and be like, Jack ordered you this drink. Just
called it in from LA. It's a matcha vodka.
It was 3 hours. It came. It was just 3 hours late. He confused the time zones.
Scuds, top three concerns. What are you most worried about for the rest of this season? You're not allowed to say Susie for all three.
Number one, the Blue Jackets.
Me too.
That's like they're insane. I don't know what to make it. Like, can't say enough good things about the Blue Jackets right now. Can I be honest? One of my concerns is like Riddick. Like, he's had some. He played well, pretty well the last game, but he's also had some stinkers. Like, my concern is if, for example, what you mentioned before, Jack, like the back-to-back, if we do have to go Riddick on one, him laying an egg, that's a little bit of a concern because we rely so much on Sorokin. Trying to think. Other than that, I don't know.
I have one.
Go ahead.
I have one to add. I think those are two good ones. Mine is burnout. If this was a regular NHL season, Patrick Waugh would be facing a lot more consequences for Schaefer playing 30 minutes, for Barzal literally coming out every other shift. Hopefully down the stretch, they can put some games away a little bit earlier so that they can have all four lines rolling, because you get closer to the end of the year and you can't afford to have these guys burnt out and not playing at the high level that we've seen all season. So I would put that in as one of them. But I don't know. In terms of making the playoffs, like, it's tight, but I'm just not, I'm not panicking right now.
Yeah. They're playing overall to have, you know, a full on panic. I think it feels like someone's got to get cold. Maybe they'll all just stay hot the rest of the way, but no panic yet.
Yeah. And plus, like, they're a lot luckier than the Atlantic Division teams because they really have two paths right now. The Atlantic Division, I mean, that top three in the wild card is so close. Robert, do you have enough confidence in the higher end prospects stepping in within the next few years to round out the forward group, or do you prefer adding via trade or free agency?
I think it's got to be a blend, right? It's kind of always got to be a blend. Like, the successful teams, you see them make moves, and you also see them bring up guys that, even guys you haven't heard of, like the Tampa Bays of the world, team, you know, Dallas Stars, they seem to make big moves and also have these guys just waiting in the wings that some of us haven't even heard of, and they just show up and play good hockey. Like, look at Tampa Bay's defense this year. I mean, you have, it's like Moser, Darren Radish, a couple other young guys they have playing back there. They're all playing well. So I think it needs to be a blend. Like, even if you have a guy like Eklund Poole himself, how effective is he going to be at 19, 20, 21 years old? We just were applauding Cal Ritchie for having, what did we say, 21 points in 51 games. Can you really expect much more for Eklund anytime soon? So it's definitely got to be a blend, and you got to take your prospects along slowly, and it's going to be on Darsh, right? You have to have the right trades, some of the right free agent pickups, and then let some of these prospects get their chance when they deserve it.
Next question, Mustachio. How many games are you comfortable letting Big Save Dave start between now and the end of the season? So we have...
How many back-to-backs, Jack?
14 games left, and in terms of back-to-backs, they have 1, 2, 3 back-to-backs left. I think three starts in the last 14 games I'm willing to give him, but it doesn't have to be on some of those important back-to-backs.
I agree. Three and some more than likely the back-to-backs, but the whole final. I think you're at the point you got to ride Sorokin.
He can take Friday, April 3rd against the Flyers. He can take
dude, this is not really a cupcake schedule. Like, I'd give him the Leafs at home. I'd probably give him the Flyers at home.
Yeah.
I mean, it also depends on what your strategy is. Like, do you want to, like, increase your chances of winning the quote-unquote easy games and just kind of toss some hard ones away, or what?
I'm a believer in that. I like to – if, like, the Islanders playing the Flames on, like, this Saturday and they had the Kings the night before, I would have started Riddick against the Kings.
Like, for example, the Islanders host the Flyers April 3rd. And then fly to Carolina the next day for the second half of a back-to-back. You want just Sorokin to win you that Flyers game and then throw Riddick to the Hurricanes?
That's what I believe in.
So then, yeah, I mean, so he starts one of those games. Maybe you give him the Panthers. It's not a back-to-back.
I think Waugh's going to ride the staff like he usually does to help make the decision, right? I feel like he usually approaches the goalie coach and says, is he good to go? Yes or no? And then makes
give him the Senators on the 11th, maybe, before the Canadians.
The bottom line is Riddick, I think, max 4, but the right numbers around.
Yeah. And then who knows? Like, you know, maybe it's unlikely at this point, but maybe you're in a scenario where that April 14th game at home against Carolina is not a must win and you just give it to Riddick.
That would be ideal.
Yeah.
They're going to have a lot. They have like a weird. They have like a weird amount of time off in April too. Like, after that Carolina game, they don't play for four full days. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
That's their last road game of the season.
It's going to be tough, man. I feel like a week ago we felt like we were in a really good spot. We were almost a guarantee to make it. And now it's becoming like, oof.
It's so close.
You can't slip up at all.
You know, these games are massive swing games this weekend. You lose in regulation both of these, and it's not going to – things could turn very quickly, especially against Columbus. Like, but
it feels like all the teams at the bottom or at the top are the ones losing, and the teams that are all fighting for these spots win. Like, Carolina's towards the top. They lose tonight. Blue Jackets win. Leafs are towards the bottom. We beat them. Stay right ahead of the Blue Jackets. the Bruins and Montreal go to OT, teams in this mix to make the playoffs just keep getting points. It's so difficult. You can't gain ground on anybody.
You know what team I fucking hate more than usual? The Hurricanes, because they don't do any. They don't do anyone any favors.
I'm telling you, I could end up being very wrong, and maybe they go on their little run and they win the East finally. But like, I feel like they're more beatable than ever.
Yeah, me too. I'm not buying
it. It's where we have a little more talent, like with for the guys. But I feel like they're beatable.
They have to. I don't know how their record is what it is, because recently they have just not been playing well. Josh Elkin is wondering, does Simon Holmstrom win a Selkie at least once in his career?
No.
Just because of it's like a popularity first line center type of contest. I don't think he has a chance at that, to be honest, but I respect the thought.
Who was the last wing to win it? Any wings win that recently? Probably not.
Let's see. It was Juraj Lehtinen of the Dallas Stars back in 2003.
Jesus.
Wow.
Since 2003, it's literally been like five dudes that have won this award.
And all centers, I think, right?
Yeah. Bergeron.
Barkov?
Yeah, Barkov, three times. May as well name it the Bergeron. My God, he won it like five times.
Yeah. Kopitar won how many?
Two.
Two?
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Pekka actually won it the year before Juraj Lehtinen.
Wow. With us?
Yeah. Last Islander.
So. I remember that.
That's a good trivia question.
That is.
It is. Yep. Next question is, Kevin, what kind of dirt does Susie have on Darsh?
The third round pick he was traded for?
Yeah.
Yep. I got to be honest, like it was bothering me a lot more in the beginning watching Susie, but now it just doesn't. And as a matter of fact, neither does Patrick Roy anymore. Like the head coach and the sixth defenseman, it's just all not bothering me anymore. I mean, Roy has what he has at this point, and he's kind of making it work. So I give him credit for the team pulling together and getting some wins recently. And Susie, I mean, it's just not going to change, bro. So you may as well just accept it. And hey, out of all the trade acquisitions, Carson Soucy's leading the pack with two goals this season.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Tonight, Braden Schenn was able to match Jonathan Drouin's full season goal total in terms of like the amount of production they've gotten goal scoring from all the trades. Soucy is two, Schenn has one, Palat has one, and Drouin's got four goals this year. Yeah, crazy. Interesting. Ryan 014. I think the goal for the Islanders should be to get 100 points, gives them a shot at second in the division. Do you guys think there's a reasonable / achievable expectation for this team given their remaining games and schedule? It's hard.
How many wins would they have for 100?
So they have 14 games left.
A little over 100, I think, right?
Right now they are on pace for 100 points on the dot.
I mean, 100 has to get you in.
It will. You know, 100 will get them in. I don't know. The division, I don't really care at this point how they get in, to be honest, whether it's the third, whether it's second, wild.
I would much rather a wild card spot. A Metro spot, wild card spot.
You would rather a Metro.
Yeah. Give me Pittsburgh or Columbus. Like, I don't want to play Tampa. That's for sure. That's my one, like, no, thank you, it's Tampa. Even Carolina, I'm not that afraid of, but I'd rather kind of be a second round, maybe after we take down someone else, hopefully. But, yeah, no thanks on Tampa.
I will say Tampa has work to do if they want to get back into first place. Like, now they're really behind Buffalo.
They have to be the Eastern favorites right now. Like, if you look at the whole East.
It could be Buffalo, betting-wise. I'll look it up.
And you know what, though? Like, the one thing I always say, whether it be Tampa or Carolina, it would be nice to finally slay Goliath, like against one of them. Like we never beat Carolina. We couldn't beat Tampa in those two huge series. Like if we could beat one of them, it would be awesome. I'm waiting on that day.
Yeah, let me put this in here. So the favorites right now are – Okay, I couldn't get it up. But the favorites right now are Tampa at plus 175, then Carolina at plus 240, and then a big drop off. Buffalo's plus 850. And you're not going to believe who's fourth. You guess.
Pittsburgh.
No. It's insane. No. To go to the Stanley Cup final out of the Eastern Conference to represent them, I just had to check again to make sure I'm seeing this right.
Can't be us.
No.
Trying to think who's in the mix. Oh, Montreal?
Nope.
Who is
– It's insane. That's why you're not getting it.
Is it someone that's not technically in right now?
Yeah.
Who is it?
It's Ottawa. Ottawa plus 1,500. They project as the fourth best chance to go to the Cup final.
That makes no sense.
It's one of the craziest betting odds I've ever seen. It almost feels like a mistake, right?
I would understand it more if it was like a team like Florida sitting on the outside right now, and they're trying to fight and get in. And if they got in, no one would want to play them. But who's Ottawa's goalie? Olmark?
It's Olmark. Sanderson.
Always playing better, but
Sanderson is literally injured right now. That's their best player.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm seeing this correct, right? It's insane.
That's crazy. Scott,
I mean,
that's crazy.
Really good odds for Buffalo.
Yeah. I think if I was a betting man, I'd go Buffalo.
Yeah.
We are
Buffalo's up 1-0 on Vegas right now.
We're plus 1,900. And Boston's plus 4,000. So if you're asking, based on these odds, it's kind of funny to look at it from this way. They actually think that the eight playoff teams will be Tampa, Carolina, Buffalo, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Montreal, Columbus, and then the Islanders with Detroit and Boston on the outside. Detroit, for whatever reason, is listed above us, but they have higher odds to win the conference. They're plus 2,000. We're plus 1,900.
It's not like the Metro's that much of a gauntlet that you're worried about. You know, like they don't have, like Carolina at the top is not that good that you should not bump all the other Metro teams down because they can't get by them.
Is there anyone that you think is like a first round exit that's surprising?
Like in the East?
Yeah, like I think Montreal is going to go home fast because their goaltending is just a disaster.
I think they're young. I think a lot of their best players are a little bit small. It might be tough. I mean, they play Tampa. Give me Tampa. I'm looking at it right now. It would be Tampa versus Montreal.
Yeah. All righty.
Yeah.
We can move on. Barry Teabags. Remember when Jack thought almost 20 goal scorer Emil Heinemann shouldn't play in the top six? Pepperidge Farm remembers.
He's still been bad. He's been better like the last couple games, but
I mean, did you see the goal he scored tonight? What Barzal is doing?
Good. Guys, come on!
Credit to him for finishing.
We just went over this with Eisman. If you put the puck in the net, National Hockey League, it's a great thing. Man puts the puck in the net. Should have never been traded.
Yeah, you don't trade a player like him, but you don't have to play him in the top six still. I stand by it, Barry. This team needs upgrade if they want to be more than plus 2,000 in third with 14 games to go, okay? Joe 727, will Columbus ever lose again? I don't know.
Clearly not. They're going belt to ass on Carolina.
Next question is from Cooney. What would an ideal D'Angelo contract look like?
Great question.
From our perspective, another 1 year, right?
No. Dude, I would like, without thinking about it, give him a 3x4.
I wonder what he's going to ask for. I really do. Because he's that rare player that he can't, like, he's not going to open himself up to everywhere in the National Hockey League because there's probably a small handful of teams that would be like, no, right away. Like, we could name three or four teams that probably would not take him.
Oh, yeah, the teams that he's been on before.
Yeah. Well, the Flyers, the Rangers. I could see, like, a Carolina taking him back.
Maybe.
He was fine there. But, yeah, there's a couple teams I'd be surprised. And he's an East Coast guy, so I think he'd want to stay East. I mean, he's another one. Like, I could see him kind of giving us a little bit of a better deal than he would get on the open market to stay. It's just more about – in my mind, it's more about the term. Like, I don't want to go too crazy on the term. I'd rather, for as good as Tony has been this season, I'd rather upgrade the position still and try to find someone else and then circle back to Tony. But if you want, I'm definitely not against keeping Tony. He's been fine, especially since he's been with Pelic.
Yeah, and something with him and Barzell seem to be such good friends. It just feels like he's a positive presence around the team, as crazy as that sound, and he's playing well. I agree with Ethan. I give him a 3-year deal.
Did you just call him Italian Beauvillier?
Kind of, yes.
Okay.
Final question, T. Isaac 39. Do you think Danny Nelson signs this year? Do you think the current center depth after the Shen trade is what's holding up the deal? And think of that angle.
I've been thinking about that for a little bit.
This is tough because I think it's kind of on the fence with him right now. I'm going to say yes, he signs, and no, the holdup is not the center depth, because I think he'll be able to play a bottom six role after like one full year in Bridgeport. You could put one of the centers on the wing and then have him play, or even have him start on the wing, get his feet wet in the NHL. We've seen that with Richie a little bit, where they put him on the wing just to get him more reps there, make him feel more comfortable. So you can be a bit flexible. Again, my guess, I don't know anything for sure right now, but my guess is he signs.
Me too. That does it as far as questions go.
Okay. Should we wrap it up?
Yes, sir.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube. If you stuck around this long, we're going to be giving this away. This is the Schaefer Gakkome Young Guns card. Stepbrothers card. Yeah, so stay tuned for that. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon. Go Islanders.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around. Io's house.